everybody. Welcome back, my geeks and my nerds. I don't have an actual, like, script today, so we are just going to be freeloading this. I actually have a very specific topic I want to talk about, though, and I'm going to go on a rant about this for, like, hopefully an hour. Okay. It's a very special thing that I could talk about for a long time. This topic I am going to be talking about today is actually the topic of the Jedi Council. This just ticks me off in so many ways. Like, I know they're supposed to be the good guys and all that. They're supposed to be the peacemakers and all of this jazz. But are they really? Like, are they? We don't see them. We see them individually do some good. Like when they retook Ryloth. But are they actually good people? Are they actually the peacemakers they say they are? That is what we are going to be talking about today in this episode of Jedi Clones and Everything. Let's get started. Okay. So, there are a couple of things that I wanted to talk about in relation to the Jedi Order. One of them being this whole no attraction or no attachments BS. Like, what? Like, I get it. Having attachments is having something that they can lord over, like somebody can use against you. But if you think about it reasonably, the whole no attachment things actually probably works to the detriment of most creatures with empathy. Attachments is what makes us us and what keeps us whole, you know? It makes it to where that we don't feel like we are, like there's nothing left to live for, pretty much. And with that, we just lose our sense of purpose. And sure, some of the Jedi, I'm sure, got a sense of purpose just from helping people, but a lot of them didn't. We see that most prominently with Anakin Skywalker, who famously left, quote-unquote, left the Jedi Order, because he, you can kind of say he left, because he formed an attachment with Padme Amidala. But if you really look at that, Padme gave Anakin something to fight for. This man who had nothing in his life. He grew up with nothing. He was a slave. His mother was a slave. They grew up dirt, literally dirt poor on Tatooine. Padme gave him something. Like, something, Padme gave him a sense of purpose, almost. She was something he could fight for. We also see that with Obi-Wan Kenobi and how attached he got to his master. He would do literally anything for him. And the same with Ahsoka Tano. These people gave him a purpose, a reason to fight for the good fight. And then eventually it just went away. And I will talk more about Anakin Skywalker next time I upload a podcast, because he's so interesting and I've been meaning to do it for a while. Okay. So, yeah, attachments give us something to fight for. It makes us want to live. And, like, fight harder. And, like, these are people with empathy and love and compassion, and that's not something you can just give away. We actually see quite a few Jedi falling in love and, like, having attachments. We see when Ventress was a Jedi, she loved her master, and it's one of the reasons she left the Order, was because when he died, she had no reason to keep being there. We see that with Obi-Wan Kenobi, who was one of the best Jedi generals of all time. And he even fell in love. As much as he wants to gripe about it to Anakin, he did fall in love. He was so in love with Satine. And I did hear a theory that the child in the Mandalorian episodes might have been his, and yeah, it looks like a mixture between Satine and Obi-Wan. And we also see it with, like, Aaliyah Secura and Bly. Those two are in love. You can just tell. And we see it in the way Shaak-Ti loves the clones. She has so much care and compassion for them. It's really amazing. She's one of the few Jedi who actually have compassion for the clones, which we can see by her taking over pretty much the process, like making sure their training is going well and all that jazz. And this goes right into my next point, the no emotions BS. Having emotions is what makes us people, you know? It's what makes us us. It's what makes us sentient beings. And to tell someone that they can't have emotions is like telling the waves to stop waving. It's just not gonna happen because we are sentient, compassionate beings. And yeah, in the things, we do see some species that do not have empathy and compassion. But we also see a lot of them who have love in their hearts to give. So, yeah, this whole no emotions thing, emotions is what makes us fight harder. We can see that with, like, Anakin and Ahsoka. When Ahsoka is in danger, it makes Anakin fight harder and want to stay alive. When Obi-Wan, quote-unquote, dies, we see him fight harder. Granted, he almost goes to the dark side on that one, but yeah, we see him, like, fighting the good fight and wanting to bring this person to justice, which is something that a lot of the, the Jedi Order doesn't want. That's another gripe I have with it, is their version of justice. Like, who's to say what is the good fight and what is the bad fight? Who is dictating this morality to us? Or to them? Is it the Jedi Order? Like, what makes the Sith Order bad? I know they're bad. They're genociding people. But it would be really interesting to talk about. And figure out. But, like, the Jedi Order doesn't do much good if you're really thinking about it. Yeah, they liberate planets from the Separatist hold, but I'm not justifying the Separatists here, okay? But let's just say, this is what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the genocide. The Separatists are bad people, but the Jedi are also bad people. They are not fulfilling their end of being peacekeepers. They aren't peacekeepers. They're warriors. They are literally training the younglings to be warriors. They are trained to fight, not to heal and to help. You know? Like, yeah, there should be, like, a very dedicated section to fight, but there should also be more place to the healing part of it. As healing is a major part of, like, healing, you know? Of, like, peace. And they're just not doing that. I liken it to America. We're supposed to be a peacekeeping country, and yet we do nothing but war. We are raging nothing but war all over the place, and we're not supplying places with things for war. And it's just like we are the bad guys. What we are doing is not helping bring peace along. We are actually making it worse. To bring peace, you need actual peacekeepers. You're gonna need both sides to want peace, though. And we know that the Sith don't want peace. But you can at least try. Like, actually try. Rather than just fighting each other, there's gotta be a better way. That's all I'm saying. And it's very politician-esque. You're all words, no action. In this case, it's very all actions, no words. They aren't really trying to make peace, if you really think about it. We never really see them trying to, like, you know, figure things out and, like, actually try to make peace. We only see them fighting. And even on Mandalore, where Satine and Obi-Wan are, like, the whole thing is going down with the Death Trooper people. Can't think of the name at the moment. When we see all that go down, it's still like they barely tried to make peace. Or, like, they did, and it went south. But, yeah. And the only real time that we see anybody try to make peace is when on that episode with the blue people and the girl I really like. I can't think of her name. She's purple hair. You know who I'm talking about. The one in the Clone Wars. She is the only one that really tried to make peace without fighting. Fighting was never really in her agenda, but then that stupid guy had to go and make enemies instead of making friends, which is kind of what the Jedi do. Anyway, I think I've blabbered on about that subject long enough. Let's move on, shall we? Okay. Another thing is how quick they are to cut someone out. The one I really want to talk about during this is, we actually have two. We have Ahsoka Tano and we have Asajj Ventress. Now, Asajj Ventress is a really interesting character who was actually pretty much orphaned three separate times when she was forced, when her mother was forced to give her up as a baby to a slaver. After the slaver died, then the Jedi Master Narek found her and took her back to the Jedi Temple where she learned the Jedi ways. And after that, she became his apprentice, and during a decade, they spent a decade on Rutarak, something like that, fighting like warlords and pirates and stuff like that. And during this time, they like fought, and she really grew. But then her master died. And it was after her master died that she really started feeling the effects of the way that the Jedi had treated her. They had pretty much abandoned her on this war-torn, god-forsaken planet. And I can't blame her for feeling that way, you know? She was forced to go to this planet to fight people, and she must have been only like 14, 15 at the time. And then her master dies, and she's stuck there, pretty much. I'm sure she could have found a way back, but she started to realize that what they are doing isn't helping the cause. They're just making enemies. And so she left the Order, and the Jedi were so quick to turn their backs on her, on Narek, and Barriss Offee and Ahsoka Tano. In Barriss's case, she actively made the choice to be bad. I will grant you that, but she saw what the rest of the Republic did, that the Jedi are not good people, that they are doing more bad damage than they are good. Like, they aren't really being peacekeepers anymore. They are taught to bring out their lightsabers and fight rather than use their words, rather than actually try to make peace. And she saw this, and she took, granted, she went about it the wrong way, like, the very wrong way. But she still had a point. Like, yeah, it was bad, but they didn't listen to her. We also see it with Ahsoka Tano and how quick they were to blame her. Like, yeah, it looked bad, but did you actually, like, you know, search? Like, did you actively investigate this? Or did you just get one clue and assume that was right? Like, they were so quick to point fingers and blame rather than actually investigate on why this dedicated Padawan would do something like this. And, like, why Barriss would do anything like that. Barriss had become disillusioned with the Jedi Order and realized that, the Sith aren't right, but neither is the Jedi. Why, if I want, like, I know if I was in the Jedi Order, born a Force-sensitive person in the Clone Wars. I personally wouldn't want to be affiliated with the Jedi Order. Why would I want to be affiliated with people whose job is to pretty much kill? I know that isn't, like, their only thing they do, but it's a lot of what they do. And for what? It's not even like I get to spend my life with someone. I don't get any emotional attachments. And I don't get anything out of it. So why would I join it? Okay. This next one is pretty important to me. If you listen to my Captain Rex episode, you know how much I adore the clones. This one. Let's talk about how most Jedis treat the clones. Okay, I have so much to say about this. I don't get it. Now you may be asking yourself, Caroline, what do you not get? Well, my good, amazing listener, let me tell you, I don't get why they treat the clones the way they do. For people who tout themselves as lovers and peacemakers and yada yada, they are no better than the Separatists, except the Separatists have the decency not to use living, breathing things. They use the droids, the cold, hard, dead droids. And it's like, how are you worse than the bad guys? This is what really puts them over the top of the bad guy score for me personally. Because I, as a compassionate, empathetic human being, could not imagine creating life, creating something with its own thoughts and emotions and breath, just to send it off to die. And being callous enough just to leave their bodies there, they do not give two craps about the clones, and it shows. Save for a select few, so many of the Jedi just straight up do not care. And it's like, why? For an order that touts itself on being so uptight and, you know, I'm better than you are. You aren't. You are sending these men out to war for nothing. They didn't ask to be created. And just to be sent out to die? And, like, what the actual heck? How do they think this is okay? And, like, we see this mostly in the Umbara arc with Pong Krell. Now, he's an extreme example. But we see it in the way that he so callously turns the clones against each other. And the fact that Kix had to be told on, the medic, had to be told on so many occasions, they're gone, leave them, we've gotta go. He had to leave his brothers behind. For what? The Republic that doesn't care about them? What? They didn't have a reason to fight, though it's the only thing they had been bred for. They had been bred for a reason that they didn't ask to be. Granted, nobody asked to be here, but my God, at least have some compassion, you know? Like, that's the least you can do for these things that you have created and brought into this world. At least let them bury their brothers. The only good thing is that we do see a lot of them with, like, they have their own personalities. We see it with Fives and Echoes and Droid Bait and Cut Up, where they have their own unique nicknames, and a lot of them have their own defining features, like Five's handprint on his chest plate, the fact that Kix does cool hair in his cool designs in his hair. We see it in the way they paint their helmets, like the fact that Rex has the J-guys and the unique blue stripes on him, the fact that Top has a tattoo of a teardrop underneath his eyes, and Jesse's tattoo over his head of the, like, Republican wheel thingy, gear thingy. But yeah, all of this, and, like, they have their own feelings and personalities and all of this, and we as the viewer know this. And, like, we barely get to see them, barely get to talk to them. And these people who actually get to spend time around them, who get to know them, and they have such little care for them, like, such little care that you can't even let them bury their brothers. But I want to talk about the select few who do, who we do see treating the clones with the little bit of respect. We see Anakin Skywalker. He's my biggest thing. We see him treat his clones with such respect, such devotion, that it's amazing, honestly. Like, he's one of the few who actually treats his men like they are men, like they're humans, because he knows what it's like to be treated as less than human. We see it in the way that when Captain Rex almost dies in the books, Anakin's like, I should have been there. That should have been me up front, not you. And he came back for Rex. He came back. Do you know how many of the Jedi would have left him there to die? And yet, Anakin came back. It's amazing, honestly. We also see it in the way that he truly feels for Fives, and the way he goes along with Fives' little plan to get Top and to figure out what was going on with Top. We see it in the way that the way he treats Rex, honestly. He treats him like he's a brother. Like, the fact that Anakin let Rex pretty much know about Padme says a lot about his relationship with Rex. And it's just the fact that so few of them do care. Another one we see care about clones is Shaak-Ti, obviously, since she is at the Kamino base. We see her really care about the cadets, and, like, she really cares for them and wants the best for them. And it's amazing what she does. It's something not all of them do. She's one of the few who actually cares. Another one we can kind of see is Obi-Wan Kenobi. It's where Anakin gets his compassion for the clones from. Maybe it helped that Padme also treats them like humans. But Obi-Wan does care for his men. He cares for Cody. Him and Cody are tight, dude. We see it in the way he talks to Waxer and Boiler in that one Twi'lek episode. So those two are the two biggest. Those three are the three biggest. But then you also have Yoda, who I kind of see how he treats them really well, but I also kind of don't see how he treats them very well. Like, he's still willing. He still okayed this to happen. And we also see Plo Koon actually care for his men. Plo Koon is one of the best Jedis in the whole series, you cannot change my mind. This man rescued Ahsoka Tano from her planet. Or not rescued, kind of took, honestly. Kind of kidnapped her. I'll get onto that in a minute. But he took her in, really cared for her. And then later, we see when he's talking to, like, Wolf, there's a comic book panel that I love of Wolf, right after Asajj Ventress takes out Wolf's eye, and Plo Koon's like, it's okay, man, I'm here for you, dude, and it's just like, oh, that's really sweet, and, yeah, that's why he's one of the best there is, because he actually cares, and he gives a crap when his men die, and he actually tries to, like, lessen the deaths, if at all possible. He does what's best for his men. But a lot of the rest of the Jedi do have some compassion for the clones, but it's not a lot. They barely treat them as people. And it's just, like, really? Why? Like, we see it in the way, some of the Jedi have really taken that whole no attachments thing to heart, and they refuse to have any sort of attachment. And, like, go off, King, that's your decision, but, like, those are still people. And, yeah, I will never understand using soldiers like that. Like, just sending them off to die. Their whole purpose is to die. And the fact that we see Rex and Wolf and Gregor, like, defy that standard, they don't die. And it's just like, wow. At least we get some closure on that. Okay, something someone else brought up to me is the fact that they find this army, quote-unquote, and they're just like, hey, you look disposable. Let me use you. And they do, and that's all that happens. Another thing is that they refused to, we can see it in our society today, this, is they refused to ask questions. The people could see how broken the system was. They could see the flaws in the council, in the Senate. And the Jedi Masters refused to question it. This is one thing Barriss got, is she said that they had lost their ways. They had just become soldiers for the Republic. That's broken, that doesn't treat everyone as equals, which we also see today in our society. It's a broken justice system. It's broken from fully down. And the people are just awful. And not only did they refuse to question the Republic they were fighting for, they also forgot to question the Chancellor. Why did nobody ask questions? Like, I'm serious. You see this thing going on with this dark and mysterious figure, and you see Palpatine, Chancellor Palpatine, and you'll be like, hey, dude, what's going on? Should something happen? And it's just like, you should have, also, why did nobody, he was a Force user. Surely Yoda would have felt the Force in him. Like, that's something they've been shown to do, is they can tell when others are Force sensitive, correct? So, what happened there? Do we ever get an answer about that? Because that's a pretty big plot hole, because we see Anakin spend a lot of time around Chancellor Palpatine. We see Obi-Wan as well. And we see Mace Windu, who is, like, the like, advisor. Surely, of all people, Mace Windu should have felt something. Mace Windu, of all people, did not question him. Also, Anakin didn't. But that's neither here nor there. And, like, Padme Amidala could see things were going on, but nobody questioned it. They could see the Republic was going in a way that wasn't prudent to their people, and nobody questioned it. And, like, I get where they were going. I know they had a story to tell and all that jazz. But still. And, okay, so while I'm talking about this, about questioning the Jedi Order and all this, Anakin Skywalker, his descent into madness was completely avoidable. Like, you have this man who feels deeply, like, deeply, deeply. Why would, like, okay, we first see his anger issues when, like, he just flies off. There's several, like, when he flies off the handle at Obi-Wan Kenobi's funeral. And when, Padme is in danger, we see him fly off the handle. And, if we had seen him with a more compassionate, person, he would not have snapped at the end. Like, we know him and Mace Windu don't get along. Just literally anybody but Mace would have been better. Have Shaak Ti go over there and do this, and the whole thing would have not happened, because she would have been able to explain to him in a way that he would have understood that the things aren't what they seem. And back to the soldiers thing, I was just reminded of this. Ahsoka Tano summed it up when she says to Captain Rex, "As a Jedi, we were trained to be keepers of the peace, not soldiers. But all I've been since I was a Padawan was a soldier." She was a warrior. She was not supposed to be a warrior. She was supposed to be a peacekeeper. She was not supposed to fight. And yet, all she was trained to do, all she had known for her entire childhood, was war and how to fight. That is not what a Jedi is. The Jedi justified sending out everything. They took command over an army that should have never been created, over people who didn't ask to be here. And they were just okay with this. They were okay with fighting. We noticed that they never really tried to make peace. They never really tried to figure it out. They never really took the Sith seriously until it was too late. And by then it was too late. We see that after rescuing Anakin, Padme, and Obi-Wan, they sent all of the knights to fight. But, yeah, they fought, but once they got out, they should have left. Because that's what peacekeepers would do. And we don't see that happening. And it's just like, really? Y'all were picking a fight there. Like, y'all weren't picking a fight, but, like, y'all wanted a fight. Why else would you have done that? And they didn't have a soul. And it's just like they lost what made them them. They lost thought and had too much. They lost critical thought and had too much overconfidence. And they, one of the reasons was because they were inflexible. They could not figure out a way. It was my way or the highway, and we know that that doesn't work, obviously. And one reason, I think, is Okay, I was just reading something, and it's just like we see in the High Republic novels where the Jedi have talents and styles and their own ways of approaching the Force. They question and challenge, and some of them even look at the dark side, but they're all accepted within the Order. But by the time the movies and stuff come around, we see that they're far less tolerant of this. Like, they don't like people who think outside the box. They don't like these people who find their own way within the Force. It's kind of reminding me of the church. It's my way or the highway. There is no thinking other ways. The other ways are bad. We don't do that. You have to think this one specific way. And the Order does not do this well. The Jedi, like, we see this most prevalent in Anakin and Qui-Gon. Qui-Gon is this free thinker, this hippie, this man who actually wants peace. If there's anything I could take away from it, is that Qui-Gon just wanted the peace. He actually wanted peace around. And, he was willing to disobey the council. And this made, he was one of the best Jedi, in my opinion, solely because he wanted peace. And he was the one who could have stopped Anakin from going to the dark side. But he was sidelined. We also see, like, Obi-Wan's very strict on, like, he needs to follow the Jedi Order, like, follow all the rules. Qui-Gon was a free thinker, kind of like Anakin. A do what I want, and whatever happens, happens. If Qui-Gon had been the one to mentor Anakin, this whole thing could have been avoided. It could have been avoided. Had Shaak Ti, who took a much kinder approach to everything, probably wouldn't have minded Anakin and Padme. But because Obi-Wan was, rules became a chain and ball. It really held them down to their full potential. Had Anakin been allowed to feel and to express his emotions, he probably wouldn't have fallen. Had he actually been allowed to be with Padme, he wouldn't have fallen. He needed a kind, compassionate heart. Not being told that what he's doing is wrong for loving. Yeah, some of the way he did things were unconventional, but in the end, I think he just wanted peace. He wanted kids to grow up in a world, in a time unlike him, where he could be happy. They maintained what they were, instead of adapting. Instead of adapting to this new time, they just kept with the old rules. Instead of seeing how bad this was. Because Anakin was not allowed to express these emotions, he was so emotionally stunted that it cost the lives of so many people. Had he just been allowed to feel, to have attachments that we know he had and he felt deeply, he wouldn't have done what he did. And we see it with Ahsoka Tano, who had issues keeping up with friendships, keeping up with people. And yeah. They just had it all wrong. And I could have done better. Just kidding. I couldn't have. But they just needed to do better than what they were doing. Another thing is, I just read in an article, is the Jedi gave up. like, okay, so we know that Order 66 happened, and all the Jedi died, right? Wrong. Several Jedi survived. And if we looked at who survived, we will only see two keep fighting. We see Kanan Jarrus, who was only a Padawan at the time of Order 66, and Ahsoka Tano, who was 16 at the time of Order 66. 16, 17 at the time of Order 66. Caleb probably was around 13, 14. We also see Obi-Wan Kenobi. And who else? Yoda. Obi-Wan Kenobi was in his 30s or 40s, and Yoda was in his 900s, I believe. He was old. Old, old, old. Now, what are the differences between these four folks? Ahsoka Tano, after she left the Order, and Order 66 happened, and Rex and her wrecked a ship, a full-on ship. After this happens, Ahsoka keeps fighting. She fights for the Resistance. She fights for justice and for peace. She is what the Jedi are about. And then Kanan Jarrus, who was only 13 or 14 at the time, he keeps fighting too. Sure, he gets off to a rocky start, but eventually he keeps fighting for the Resistance. And what do these two older folks do, huh? What do? They have these two twins that are literally the future of the Jedi. They are the future. And what do they do? Because they're Anakin Skywalker's twins. Of course they're gonna be force sensitive. If his midichlorian count was as high as they say, there was no way both of them weren't force sensitive, at least a little. And we see, instead of, you know, taking them in and training them, you know, wouldn't be hard to do, we see them get rid of them. And, like, sure, it would have been safer. Sure, it was probably safer to give Leia up to Bail. But still, Leia had so much potential. And it's the fact that Luke got to be a Jedi, but Leia didn't. That's neither here nor there. That's just a gripe I have. Leia was Anakin's daughter. She was a spitfire. She would have been an amazing Jedi. And I know that, I don't know if it's canonical now, but she did get training to be a Jedi. She was force sensitive. But because they chose Luke over her, he got more training than her. But that's just another gripe I have with the Jedi Order. But yeah, instead of, you know, taking them in at an early age like you normally would and training them up to, you know, defeat Vader, which had they been trained earlier, they probably would have defeated Vader earlier. That's all I'll say. Like, had you actually trained Leia, she would have been an amazing Jedi. Like, rivaled Anakin's skill. Instead, you choose Luke. He's not the one I would have chosen. I would have chosen Luke to be the politician. Not because he's, like, weak or anything, but just because Leia is more of a fighter. She's Anakin's daughter. And Luke is Padme's son. Like, you know how someone says, I'm my father's daughter? That's what that saying is about. It's literally about Leia Skywalker. Leia Organa. Whatever. She's Leia Skywalker to me. But yeah, that's just a little gripe I had about that. But yeah, no, they gave up. Like, they could have raised them and taught them to be fighters. To, like, this one last fight before we become the peacemakers again. And it's just, Yoda and Obi-Wan could have done so much, but instead they just gave up on these two twins that deserved better. Okay, one thing that I found that I should point out, that I feel like I need to point out is the fact that even Dave Filoni, I think, said, and like we see this in the originals as well. Originally, the original Jedi, it wasn't about good or bad. It wasn't about black or white, right or wrong. It was about the harmony, bringing peace to both sides, which is what the Jedi should have been doing. Originally, it was about finding the balance between the two, but somewhere along the lines, the Jedi just lost their way. They just couldn't get their crap together and started leaning towards the light side. And of course, once you lose that balance, when you start leaning to one side, something comes to fill the void on the other side. And thus the Separatists were born. The Sith were born. And another thing, someone just, like, I'm reading this article by the IndieAnathinMedium.com, is that when Anakin was born, he probably wasn't born to destroy the dark side. He wasn't also born to destroy the light side. He was born to bring balance to both sides. He was supposed to be the mediator, the thing that balanced it out. He's the middle point on a lever, like on a seesaw. He's the midpoint. He was supposed to be that. But because the Jedi failed him so hard, he ended up leaning towards the dark side. And thus the median was lost once again. He might have felt so deeply because of his attachment to the dark side. But he had an attachment to the light side. So he was supposed to be the gray area. The one that's not good but not bad. And he could have been it. But instead, he was just failed. We see this especially on the planet with the son, the sister, and the father, the son, the daughter, and the father, where Anakin has to go through these tests to prove he's the chosen one. And what we see isn't this rule follower who is supposedly the chosen one. It isn't the quote-unquote good one who ends up being the follower. It's this loud and this angry and this passionate person. Anakin is so passionate. But what gets him through the test is this love and caring for his master and his Padawan. It's what chooses, who he chooses. And if we look at that episode, the father is the perfect balance between the son, who is dark, and the daughter, who is light. The father is neither good nor evil. And what we see at the end of that episode is the father just being like, Anakin, I need you to come take my place. But he's not. He doesn't want to. So it's this episode that really shows us that Anakin was not really supposed to destroy the darkness. It was never supposed to happen that way. But because of the way that the Jedi Order raised him, because he was told his whole life that Sith are bad, Jedi are good, that's the only thing he can think of. So when this comes up, he can't fathom it. But yeah, we can see that he is supposed to be the balance, the midpoint, the not good but not bad either. And we even see Yoda balancing this. And again, we can only see it when he, or like, we can only, like, what really happens is he can only overcome this dark side shadow by saying that it's a part of him. And it's at the end of this test where Yoda realizes that he would rather save the life of one friend than in the war, and this is what gives him a purpose. He goes back to the council and is like, yo dudes, we've been doing this wrong. And it's here we realize that them fighting in the war has probably, not one, not been good, but two, also just caused the war to keep going on. It has just, them fighting would not stop the war. And Yoda realizes this by the end of the episode. He realizes that there's more to this than just fighting. They're gonna have to do more than just fight. They're gonna have to actually try to be peacekeepers again. They're actually gonna have to try and do better than what they have been. And he realizes that the fighting is not helping. So I'm actually gonna use some of these examples from this website, indianathan.medium.com, who also talked about this and talked about how originally it was okay to dabble in the dark side. So, like, you can look, but don't go over there, but it's necessary. And talk about how, and I'm going to talk about some of the examples they have. And I'm going to leave this article for you to read, because this is where I've gotten some of my information from and used it to talk about. So shout out to this guy. He's a really good writer. I've really enjoyed this article. He talks about how Yoda was devoted to the light and blinded in some of the ways. He's blinded by his strict devotion to right. And because he has these blinders on, he can't see that what he's doing is wrong. And that's one of the major plot points. We also see Dooku. He saw clearly concerning attachments in politics in the Force. The Jedi forbade communication with his sister, attachment, stifled his vision for a healthier, more productive Jedi Order, politics, so they took what he wanted to do and made it worse, pretty much. Like, he had good ideas for making the Jedi Order better, to bring back the old ways of being peacekeepers, but no. And they were seemingly blind in their apparent non-ability to sense things, the Force. And they are, which is, I think this ties back to my question about Palpatine, why they weren't able to sense that something was wrong. I think it was because of this. Because they were so blinded, they thought that, there could be nothing wrong with him. We see this a lot, is they were very haughty-taughty, very, very haughty-taughty, what am I saying? They're very uppity, snobbish, very, I'm right, you're wrong. They're very unapproachable and arrogant, not only in their code and tradition, but in the way they act. So it's no wonder that people were turning against the Jedi, and they weren't wanting to leave their tradition. I know tradition is very hard to leave, but you are letting a dead person tell you how to live your life. And it's just like, you can see that this isn't working. You need to change. And we see that a lot in today's society as well, where the older generation refuses to change. And because they refuse to change, the world is going to, you're going to have to pardon my friends, shit. Like, it is going to crap. Literally, nothing is going right, and because these people are stuck in their ways and refusing to change, nothing is happening. Like, we are not getting the change we need in this world, and we see that in the Jedi Order too. They are refusing to change and see that their ways are not working and that they need to do something different. And his fascination with the dark side, Dooku's fascination with the dark side, was not encouraged. It was not guided. Nobody said, hey, yeah, this is what happens. This is why this is bad. But we do need it. Instead, they said, hey, don't do that. That's bad. We need to not do that. Don't even look over there. And this caused a lot of anger, and it was stifled, as he says. And because it was stifled, Dooku overcorrected, and he saw what he sought in the dark side. He saw that they were doing things better and more ethically over there. And if the bad guys are doing things more ethically, I think you have issues. Mildly ethical. The Jedi weren't ethical at all, but we've already been over that and my thoughts on it. And a lot of this is rambly, and I'm sorry, I'm tired. But let's see what else. Qui-Gon.
He observed all of it. And he found the balance.
Qui-Gon found the balance in the Force.
He saw the Jedi were doing bad. And,
that's why he wasn't on the council, is because he called them out on their BS. He's like, yo, guys, what? And thus he wasn't on it. He could have absolutely trained Anakin to have healthy attachments, to not be so codependent on Padme, or Shmi, or Ahsoka, or Obi-Wan, and thus not sending him over the edge. Because we see he was very codependent on these people. And the next is Obi-Wan. Filoni pointed out that he was committed to the Jedi. One second. In the code of the era, and thus served the light. And he severed the relationship with Satine. Did he really, though? He saw Jar Jar and Anakin as useless life forms. Initially, only trained Anakin out of obligation due to his promise to Qui-Gon. So he, like most of the Jedi, had no use for lower life forms. Even though those lower life forms were still life forms. I'm sure over time we do see him grow more compassionate. After Anakin, I think he did grow more compassionate with everybody. Next is Anakin. He was too old for training, and Obi-Wan was still a Padawan at the time, and thus they became brothers. And Anakin lacked the father figure. And Obi-Wan lacked the balanced training that Qui-Gon could have provided. So, him and Anakin pretty much were trained by everybody and nobody. And obviously chafed at Anakin in a greater way, being younger, less mature, more zealous, more skilled and ambitious, and more emotional than Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan, who had found his, calmness. Obi-Wan was able to find this peace where Anakin was not. And, he didn't find the balance, but he found peace and was able to keep his emotions under check. And it was because he had nobody to teach him how to balance this out, that teach him that his emotions are good and that he needs to feel. He fell to the dark side. Like Dooku, he was overzealous and overcorrected, but realized that the Jedi wasn't where he was going to find what he wanted. He was never going to be at peace in the Jedi, but he also never found peace in the dark side. He was awful. In the Sith, he was tortured pretty much to make him angrier so that he'd be stronger. Anger is not the emotion that you want controlling you, but neither is no emotion. And Anakin only ever had the two extremes. He never had anyone to tell him that emotions are okay to feel. And some emotions are good emotions that we need to feel to be able to live. And so because of this, Anakin never found peace. He never found the balance he was looking for. And honestly, neither did his kids. Luke acts like he did, but he didn't. He never found the peace, the middle ground between light and dark. Rey might have, but we don't talk about Rey. We do not talk about Rey. And honestly, if anybody could have found the balance between it, it was never gonna be Luke. I'm sorry, but it never was. It was gonna be Leia. Out of the two, Leia was the more balanced one. Yeah, she was hot-headed like her father, but she could have used that to her advantage. Luke was the peacekeeper. Leia was the hothead. If between the two of them, they brought balance. This is what I don't get. This could have been a good thing. This could have been amazing. It was amazing. Don't get me wrong. But the way they could have taken this,
way of thinking, of this balance, this idea. That's what I was trying to think of. This idea, the way they could have taken this idea of balance and had the twins balance each other out. Like, have one be good, have one be bad, and, like, together they're gray. And, like, not bad, but, like, yeah. They could have been the gray, and that would have been so cool to dive into. But no, instead we got stupid Disney. Like, I like this idea where, like, we see Leia and Luke training, and we see them both finding the balance that their predecessors were not able to. And it would have been even cooler if we saw Qui-Gon, like, teaching them from the Force, like, teaching them how to find balance and all of this. And like, we see Force Ghost Anakin and Padme off to the side, just looking lovingly over their kids. And, like, that's a concept I want to see of Luke and Leia together bringing balance, which it would have been even cooler because they're twins. And, like, you have the peaceful Luke who just wanted to be left alone, and then you have Leia, the hot-headed Leia, who's good at politics. Together, they could have brought peace, but no, instead we got over whatever the crap Disney wanted. But yeah, that's, they could have done so, so much better, and they could have had balance. I have been prattling on for over an hour now. Those are my thoughts on, the Jedi Council and why I dislike them, and my problems with them. I will leave the articles I used down in the thing, because I did use another list article to help me, because I never would have put this together myself. I mean, I probably would have. We did have a lot of the same points. But I'll still leave both of the articles I used down in the description below. Thank you for joining me on this side of the galaxy. I hope you all enjoy your lovely Easter weekend. Enjoy the long holiday. Toodles!